You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, that was epic cool. And by the way, during the break, you heard some commercials and all that. Let me just point out something for you. If you hear this show and you're touched by the way we do things, if you like the idea of faith and patriotism and conservative politics all wrapped up into one show, if that's something that you identify with and you want to be a part of it, then just know this. We are a separate business. Right Side Radio is a separate standalone organization. We're not owned by the stations that we're on. We actually broadcast to them. And the only way we can support that is by, you know, people doing things like supporting us on the side or buying advertising. So if you'd like to advertise on this show, I mean, if you're going to advertise your business anyway, right? How about jumping on board with the most popular show in North Alabama? And, oh, by the way, we understand Nielsen says that 91% of all Americans are touched by radio every single week. And I mean, the last I checked, we're told by the stations that we're on also, we're talking to over 30,000 people a week. That's just amazing to me that we have a platform to do that. But if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising spot and send us a message. And we'll get right back to you. I got several messages already about that. And I want to talk to Boomer about this on the air here in a moment. But that interview we just did with Charles Mulley. I mean, what a cool, cool guy. I hope you guys could hear his heart. Allie from Athens has already texted in. Said, in fact, I'm trying to, it's a long text. I'm sorry, Allie, but basically feels like God used us today in a way that I would rather tell you on the phone. So she's going to give me a face-to-face or a phone call sometime soon. But I'm glad to hear it because what I needed to know was that the reality is that people like Mulley are out there changing people's lives. But when you hear about it, you also recognize, maybe I can do something. And that's a huge piece. JT from Lacey Springs, he says, you had a modern-day Job in the studio. He was kind of a Job, but you know what? He also has become so much more than that. I can take it back, though. My favorite passages of Scripture is the very end of Job when it says that Job lived to be old and full of days and that God restored him to so much. So maybe so, JT, good point. John from Huntsville says, can only come up with two words to describe Charles Mulley in that entire segment. Truly inspirational. Thank you, John. Appreciate that, man. Brian from Huntsville says, dearly loving your guest, thank you. When I was born again through Jesus Christ, he told me to stop digging. And then thank you all, he says. That interview was humbling to me. So Boom, when we were sitting in studio with him for this, you know, this interview, you've been to Nairobi, Kenya multiple times doing mission work, right?
Yeah, I was able to go to Nairobi, Kenya three times.
Three.
And two of them were with a ministry with the Continentals, and it was a musical group and stuff like that, and we just did ministry work while we were in Africa. And the other one was with actually a group called Compassion International.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where you sponsor children in third world countries.
We
used to
sponsor a little guy from Haiti of Compassion International.
And so I actually sponsored a child at the time in Kenya, in the slums, and I actually got to go meet him.
Wasn't Stephen Curtis Chapman one of their spokespeople?
He was, I believe. Yeah.
So and, yours was in Kenya, though.
Mine was in Kenya, in one of the, I believe, one of the southern slums of Nairobi. And just going there and seeing the way those people live, and it's gut-wrenching, and it's just hard to see, and especially coming from something where we're so prosperous here.
Yeah.
And but then knowing that there's people out there like Charles Mulley and the ministry that he has, and now is helping as many kids as he can find in those slums, is unreal and unbelievably, like, it's such a blessing to know that.
You know, one of the things that really struck me in the movie was he'll go out and walk the streets of the slums in the dark of night, and they'll find little kids sleeping under porches or on street corners. And, you know, I mean, we're talking like kids that are like 3, 4, or 5 years old,
right,
that are abandoned on the streets, and they're just living hand to mouth. And he always, the first thing he does is there's a word, apparently it means peace in Swahili, but he'll walk up and he'll say something, is it awe, awe? And he'll just say this to them. And then they literally will crawl out of a hole to come to him, and he'll carry them away and give them a life that they never could have had otherwise.
Right.
And
in that movie, it gives you a small glimpse, just a small glimpse of what it's like there.
And it's so well done, by the way.
Yes.
This is not a movie we're going to watch and go, well, B-grade class, you know, recording and everything scratchy and kind of put together janky. No, it's a very it's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a documentary-style movie, but it's a movie. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I came into the interview with Charles, and I think if I had not watched the movie, I would have been at a disadvantage because I would have been saying, well, what happens next? You know, I wouldn't know. So I had a greater understanding, but I also had a far greater appreciation.
Yes.
Because you truly see his life built. And he was one of the richest men in Kenya.
Right. And that's
eating
dinner
with the president of the country.
Yeah. It's unreal that he just gives it all away to start this.
Yeah, like not a little bit, like gave it all away.
Not a little bit, everything. And like I know you heard it in the interview, but his family was like, "What?" I mean, you see that more in the movie.
Well, they actually his children resented it a period of time. They went from having a plush lifestyle that, you know, compared to anybody in the nation, and suddenly they're like, "I have to give up my room. I can't go to school there anymore. What is happening to my life?"
Right.
But the redemption piece in that, too, was every one of his kids is now more than on board. Most of them actually worked for the ministry now, and two of them actually married kids that were rescued off the streets. And it's been just an epic story of transformation.
And it's continuing to happen. It's not something that's in the past. It is still present.
All right. So, anyway, the bottom line is this. You got to see the Mully movie, people. I'm just telling you. I love the ministry. You can find out more about them through the movie. You can find out more about it. In fact, Boomer, you told me all you did was just Google Charles Mully, and he showed up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bam. The guy's known internationally. I'm thinking, why didn't I already know him? But there it is. And I love the fact that this show – I mean, we had Ted Nugent on yesterday.
We had Ted Nugent, now Charles
Mully. Charles Mully today, you know. You talk about running the gamut, man.
I know.
But you know, two dudes who are both, you know, transforming and standing up for values in their own right. Loving that. All right, if you want to hear that interview again, you can get it. It'll be up tonight on our podcast. We have the video there, too. If you want to – oh, and speaking of which, if you want to catch the – if you did not catch yesterday's interview with Ted Nugent, cancel culture thinks they got hold of him. I got news. He may have just grabbed them by the scruff. But the interview with both will be up on the podcast. In fact, Nugent's already up. And then the interview with Charles Mully will be up tonight. And good stuff, Boomer. You did a good job with the promo, with the production quality of that. So outstanding. I'll tell you what, about a minute ahead of schedule, Boomer, go ahead and take us to a break. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. I'm going to number 3 in the Triple Dipper, calling it Into the Memory Hole. Do you remember that from George Orwell's 1984, where they tried to erase history? Everything you didn't want to keep or let people remember, you threw it down the memory hole. Well, y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, we'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, listen, I mean, talk about people doing good things in places all around. Some of them are right here at home. One of whom is the Elm Foundation. Elm Foundation, one of our sponsors, ELM, that stands for Expect Little Miracles. Elm Foundation, based out of Huntsville, 501c3, is literally out there making a difference in people's lives, like walking them through the process of what it takes to get off the street, to get job skills and certifications, to build out their resume, and really to increase their self-worth. And they're doing it in a way with accountability. Like, hey, we're here for you, but we're setting a plan, we're making milestones, and we're going to ask you if you're hitting the marks. And they got folks that are walking through it and getting out of their destitute positions in life. And they're not throwing money at it like the government would do. They're literally out there responsibly walking with people and changing lives when they do. I love that, man. That's the way it should be. Elm Foundation, based out of Huntsville. Here's their website. That's ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville. That's elmhsv.org. Check them out. I think you'll be impressed. I'm glad they're on our team. elmhsv.org. And if you talk to them, do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. By the way, speaking, I knew this would happen, Boom, but every time we've had anybody on who's doing good things for people everywhere, people start texting in saying, how can we support that?
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Because that's the kind of audience we got.
Yeah.
Leanne from Huntsville just texted in and says, I feel God's presence with the story of Mully. I love that movie. My family watched it all last Friday. Outstanding. Thank you, Leanne. Daryl from Tony says, he's like a modern day Joseph. How do we donate to his mission? So if you want to, yes, of course, Mully Children's Family, they have their U.S.-based 501c3 that supports what they do. It's called, here's our website. The website is MCFUS. That's as in Mully Children's Family, U.S. So MCFUS.org. You go on there, MCF, as in Fox, US.org. And check them out. There's a place on there you can donate if you want to. You'll be able to find out more about them and what you can do. And of course, as always, those are tax-deductible donations. Other things in the news right now, I don't know how to give you any better information about what's happening with Trump. CNN is enjoying every second of it, doing all they can to talk about this being the downfall of the Trump nation. I don't know. But over on Fox, they're talking about something completely different. So we'll see where it goes. It's a weird situation. An accusation from the 1990s. There's been no criminal prosecution, but Trump's convicted in civil court of sexual assault and defamation from 1996 by a lady who wrote her memoir and got paid to write a memoir in 2019, who now has earned a $5 million award from a jury in New York City. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not going to try and say nothing bad ever happened to this lady. I don't know the facts. All I do know is this is looking pretty shady. We'll find out more about it as time goes on. Samah, the truck driver, texted in and says he'd love to hear Tom McDonald on the show. I guess we can look up Tom McDonald and see what's up. JT from Lacey Springs says, just think if Soros, for example, sought for helping one as Mully does. Can you imagine? Mully has... Over 28,000 kids have gone through his Mully Children's Family rescue mission. 28,000 kids. When you watch the movie, Mully movie. When you watch the movie, I mean, you're talking about kids who are now, some of our doctors in the United States now. There's kids who, I guarantee you, 28,000 kids in a country like Kenya, you're going to wind up seeing some of those become heads of state. You've got them already in universities. You've got living productive lives, owning their own properties. I mean, and the school that they put together, one of the best in the nation. But oh, and Boomer, here's one of the things that you watched the movie. Remember that part of the movie? So when they the miracle of finding water,
right?
And then that water, it's prolific. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. It's filling up the fields for irrigation, and they have the hydroponic farm now with
right.
like how many acres underneath the roof, and they grow. They're self-sustaining now. They're not just waiting around for donations. They're
right.
They're even exporting vegetables. But the thing that got me was they decided that one of the things they had to do was reforest that area of the country, and they've planted like that water from that well. They've planted like 20 million trees.
Man, which changes the environment.
It did. It rains more in that part of the country now because wow. They have planted over the last 30 years 20 million trees in and around that part of the country that did not exist before. They're changing it from an arid landscape into a vibrant, fertile landscape.
Didn't he talk about other other people from other countries in Africa and all over that come just to say, wow, this is...
How did you do this?
And what they see in the movie, it's even more and more broad now because they've continued to add on.
Yeah. I could talk all day about it. It's just cool. I tell you what I am going to do, though. I'm going to switch gears for a minute and see if I can earn an A from John from Huntsville today by getting my whole triple dipper done.
Get it in.
I know. Wait, I'm going to do all right. My monologue earlier in the show, I'm going to point to an A in center field right now.
That's what it is.
That's it. So I don't know if y'all remember this, the memory hole. If you've ever read George, I'm totally changing gears. If you've ever read George Orwell's 1984, it's amazing how much is happening these days that feels like Orwell was onto something, right? He may not have had the year right, 1984, but he had certain things in place in that book, that dystopian novel of a future world in which, you know, Big Brother ruled everything. And there's one piece, one segment of it. And it's one of those things that's now burned into popular culture. You talk about, that one went down the memory hole. What does that mean? Well, it came from the book. It came from 1984. The memory hole in the book was there were several holes in the wall in the office, if I recall. One of them was called the memory hole. Anything you didn't want, anything you had to get rid of, anything that the Ministry of Truth, think about that. Biden just tried to build a ministry of disinformation. Doesn't that sound a little something familiar from 1984? The Ministry of Truth, in the book, it systematically, you know, tried to recreate historical documents to avoid something that would embarrass Big Brother's government. And so they would rewrite history. And then anything that didn't fit the narrative had to get thrown down the memory hole. And it got burned up. And so in the story, you have one guy whose routine task was to take old newspaper articles and make sure they were revised and then burn the evidence. And like in one part in there, you talk about spin. In one part in there was a chocolate ration that everybody got. And the chocolate ration was decreased from 30 grams to 20. But the next day, the newspaper announced that the chocolate ration had not been reduced to 20. It had actually been increased to 20, and everybody should be happy. And all evidence of the prior 30s was thrown down the memory hole so they could rewrite history and do what they wanted to do and control the narrative. Does this sound familiar to you? Well, what we're seeing right now with the attempt to rebrand military bases and to tear down statues and all of it, it feels a lot like the memory hole. Like, let's make sure that certain parts of history are not discussed. You cannot talk about these things. They're going down the memory hole. But I've got in my stack of stuff, which we may cover here in a little bit, in my stack of stuff, I've got the contrary, which is saying, no, all we're doing is not venerating or honoring those. What? Come on. Really? We're not venerating? We're tearing them down just to avoid venerating them? No. What we're trying to do, in my opinion, is throw a lot of our history down the memory hole so it can never be known or referenced again. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all be sure to text in your opinions, 833-687-4448. We'll be right back.